Okay, we begin here on the bottom of Tzadi Aleph Amud Bet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Onein, Tovel, Vecholet Pischo de Erev. And Onein can go to the mikveh and eat his Pesach at night. Avalo b'kodoshim, that is not true in Kodoshim. So that already introduces that there's an issue here that normally would not be overridden, but for the Korban of Pesach, we do override it, which the Gemara will discuss in a minute. Shomea al meito, v'amalakeit lo atzamot. Someone who gets a shmua rechoka, someone who they have to be mitabel aleihem, passed away, or melakeito atzamot, which was a common practice to move the bones. They used to bury them in the catacombs originally until the body disintegrated and there were only bones left, and they used to move the bones to the common of the family burial place. So both of those cases, tovel v'ochel b'kodeshim, they go to the mikveh and they eat kodeshim at night. Now here, melakeito atzamot, Rashi says it's aviv v'imov, his parents.
So according to most, it applies to any of the seven relatives that one has to be mitabel aleihem. Rashi might have just been mentioning aviv v'imo because those are the most common cases where a person will move the bones after they place them in the catacomb and move them over to a family burial site.
Ger shenitgayer be'erev Pesach. A person who converts on Erev Pesach. Say if I was recommending it for them, I'd wait till after Pesach. But ger shenitgayer be'erev Pesach. Be'chamei omrim tovel v'ochelet pischo la'erev. Goes to the mikveh. And he can be a party to the Korban Pesach that evening. Beit Hillel omrim, Poresh min Orla, ki Poresh min HaKever. Someone who separates away from Orla is equivalent to Poresh min HaKever, and they have to wait 7 days of Tuma or Tara after they have come into contact with a mate. So too, person who converts and has a Milah that removes the Orla, they have to wait 7 days before they can participate in the Korban Pesach. We'll see as to why that is. Gemara says, first of all, my time. What's going on over here in the Mishnah? What's the difference between Kodoshim and Korban HaPesach? Kasavar, aninut delaylo dirabonon. First thing is that aninut at night is only dirabanan. Onein, or the status of aninut, is when person has a mate that passes away who they are chayev to mitabel aleihem. Again, the seven relatives that they'd have to be mitabel aleihem. When the mate passes away, they take on or they become an onein. An inane is the status of the individual because, and that's a machloket harishonim in the Gemara and Brachot, as to why the person has the status of an inane. One is because the possibility that they are going to be asuk with the mate. They have to be involved in dealing with the mate. Therefore, they're not panui to deal with other things. So because of that, they're given, they're granted the exemption that they're patur mi kol ha-mitzvot. The other possibility of the rishonim is that the proper kavod ha-mate is that the person should not be a suk in other items, but rather focused on the mate. So we take away all other obligations for the individual so that they will be focused on the mate. So it's a question if it derives from the kavod ha-mate, from the mate themselves, and that's what drives the onein side of it. Or is it the onein himself, right? The practical side, which is the onein himself, is a suk, and therefore he can't be osek be other things. So that is the status granted to the individual of an onein. Now, Mina Torah, according to most of Rishonim, Onein only applies on the day of death, the day, actual day of death. Midra Banan, Aninut extends to the Laila until that night, and truthfully, it keeps on extending if the mate is not buried. It happens, unfortunately, in certain situations, especially in Chutz La'aretz, where you have multiple days of Yom Tov, you have Yom Tov and Shabbos together, you can have 3 days where the mate doesn't get buried. So if a person passed away right before Yontif, or even a day or two before Yontif, where they don't have time to bury them, it could be a number of days where a person is an onein. They maintain or retain that status of an onein, but that is all midrabanan. Midoraita, according to most, is just the first day. That's what the Gemara says over here. The first day of aninut is midoraita. Already by nighttime, that's aninut dirabanan. Correct. That is a machloket. With aninut lailo is dirabanan or doraita.
Which is found in the Gemara Zvachim, daf tzaditet amud bet. There we have a braita about aninut lailo. And aninut lailo midivrei Torah, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Onein, Eino Midivrei Torah or Midivrei Sofrim. So you have a machloket Tanaim as to whether the Aninut Laila is a Din Doraita or a Din De Rabbanan.
Here the Gemara says, our Mishnah assumes that Aninut Laila is De Rabbanan.
Okay. After they bury?
So that's a good question. The assumption probably is that they did not bury the mate yet. Once they bury the mate, then likely, according to most, then that terminates the Aninut and changes it into an avelut. There are others that believe that the status of onein remains even for the period of day.
Which is also a braita that's found in Zvachim and Daf Kuf Amud Bet, where ad matai mitonein alav kol hayom. Rabbi Omer goes man shelo nigvar. There's a question as to whether the oneinut terminates on that first day at the time of burial, or do you remain an onein even after the burial for that first day?
Why would he not be an onein?
Because if it's extending already, the tipula mate is not relevant anymore. I mean, that mate is already taken care of. The extra days that you need is a technical problem, not a problem that you have to be metabo of a mate. So according to most, the avelut, like the Rambam, is pretty clear that once the stimata golel, avelut starts, that terminates the aninut at that point in time.
That's what the rabbi said yesterday. He said, brisk is put on tefillin after they bury.
Right, because it's not no longer Yomar, because right. They switch over. So the Stimata Golel in general terminates the Aninut and changes it over to Avelut. Now in terms of Aninut, talking about here, today we have multiple days of Aninut. In their day, that was very unlikely to happen because there was almost a zero chance that a mate would be carried over for so long. Today, a lot of it has to do with technical problems and labor unions. We don't allow you to get in or to vary at that time, number one. The second thing is refrigeration, which is that we can maintain a body without it decomposing. In their day, there was no way to maintain the body over a period of time, and therefore they tended to bury very fast. So this idea of multiple days of aninut is probably a much newer phenomenon. The Gemara doesn't recognize, by the time nighttime came already, it was unlikely that the mate would be around by the next day. They weren't waiting for people to travel from overseas to come back. None of these delays that we experience today were relevant in their time. So aninut yom, and maybe at laila, that's at most that you would have seen in terms of aninut. But the Gemara says here that this Mishnah assumes, according to the one who says Aninut Lailo, is the Rabbonon. And therefore, V'gabe Pesach lo imidu divrayim b'makom karet. When it comes to Garment of Pesach, when you're talking about a karet, that's an assay that involves karet with it, the Rabbonon did not put their gzeiro in place, whereas Gabe Kodoshim imidu divrayim b'makom asay. Whereas with regards to other Kodoshim, imidu divrayim b'makom asay. There's two things here. One is it's a mitzvah overet, that if you don't do it now, it's going to pass. I mean, in terms of Garment Pesach, you have a limited time to do it. That in itself is not sufficient, because we have other mitzvot overet, which we don't waive it for. But it's mitzvot overet plus you have a karet associated with it. So those two things combined together tell us to not going to force this issue of aninu talayla derabonon. We're going to waive it so that you can participate in the Karban Pesach that night, and it's good. Other kodoshim, we're not going to waive it for. On other kodoshim, we're going to say that we keep the gzera in place, and you will not be able to participate in the Karban or to eat from the Karban. Even though there is a mitzvah d'aseh, there is a mitzvah d'aseh of eating other karbanot, which is the chluot tamashir kupar behem. Nevertheless, that mitzvah d'aseh is not strong enough for us to say we're going to waive the din dirabanan.
And in addition, another karbanot, the achila, is not ma'akev like it is by korban ha-pesach.
And that explains the difference here between the onein facing kodoshim versus the onein that is facing korban ha-pesach. So now, hashumeya al-meito. And then the next one was Malakeit lo atzamot. He went and collected the bones of his parents to bring them to the family tomb. Ha, boy hazah shlishi b'shvi. If he's collecting his parents' bones, he's tamei meit. So what do you mean he's going to do the Karban Pesach today? He's got another 7 days. He's got to do the Azal Kapara Duma. He has now a chance. So Ema shlikdu lo atzamot. No, they did it for him. On his behalf, they collected the atzamot. Somebody else has a problem of tumatamate, but somebody else did it on his behalf. Liktolo atzamot, they took care of the atzamot for him, and therefore he was not tamei mate. He has what we call aninut rabbanon. The rabbanon instituted aninut.
When he has a shmua rechoka, and he has a velut rabbanan.
When someone does likud atzamot, they have that status of a velut that day, status of aninut that day. Right, even if they have nothing to do with it, right, it's just a one day, it's out of respect for the mate, because you're moving the mate, and that is a turmoil for the mate in terms of moving them, so there's also a certain sense of avelut for that, because of moving the mate. Now, also, we force them to do a tvila here, we force them to go to the mikveh, because any time that we have a chashash, that an individual came into contact with the mate, we force them to go to the mikveh because of malato kodoshim. So we're going to see this later in today's daf as well, but like Mechusere Kapara. Mechusere Kapara, who went to the mikveh the day before, had Harav Shemesh, and all they had to do is bring a korban. Mitra Rabbanan, they instituted a tvila, and they have to be tovel, and then after they bring their korban again. That's an institution to Rabbanan, because you were not at the full level of Tara, so we have a tvila that goes when you go back to attaining your full level of Tara. Same thing here for the Aninut, as well as for the Likut Atzamot, all these things. The Mishnah says, tovel, tovel, tovel. Now, truthfully, he doesn't have to go to the mikveh. There's no reason for him to go to the mikveh. Going to the mikveh is a maila that the Rabbanan imposed, which says that anybody who was in quasi-contact with Tumah, or possibility of Tumah, you go to the mikveh because of the problems of Hesech Hadat, and then you're allowed to join into the Karban Pesach or eat in Kodashim. Alright, now, next case, Ger Shenit Geyer. Amar Rabba Bar Avchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Machloket Be'arel Nachri. His Machloket has to do with an Arel Nachri, a non-Jewish Arel. The Beitil al Savri Gzeira Shemitma Lishana Haba. Problem is that he might become Tamei the next year. Viomar, Eshtakad. Last year, Milo Tavalti Vachalti. Last year, I was in contact with a mate. and then I converted, and right away they let me go to the mikveh, and I brought my korban of Pesach. Akshav nami. Okay, so I touched a meat this morning, no problem. I'll hop into the mikveh, v'ochel, and I'll be a part of the korban Pesach that night. Last year he was a non-Jew, dolo mekabel tumah. He's not mekabel tumah, so therefore there was no issue. Akshav Yisrael, now he's a Jew, mekabel tumah, and he won't differentiate between. You know, to him, he came in contact with the Tumah. What does it make a difference whether he was Jewish or not Jewish? That was the contact with the Tumah. But the difference is that whether he is Tameh or not Tameh. Now, Bishamai Savri Lo Gazrina. Rabbi Shimon says, don't worry about it. He'll be, no, next year he's Yisrael. Everything's different. It's not the same as it was before. Aval, Arel Yisrael. When you're dealing with an Arel Yisrael, Divrei Hakol Tovel V'Cholet Pischol Erev. Everybody agrees. He goes to the mikveh right away. And he can eat his Pesach that night. V'Lo Gazrina Arel Yisrael Mishum Arel Nachri. And we're not gozer over here, Arel Yisrael Mishum Arel Nachri. Meaning, Arel Yisrael is not going to have that problem. I mean, if he really became Tamei, he would be Tamei 7 days, even if he's an Arel. That doesn't make a difference. Arelut for a Jew is not relevant in terms of their becoming Tamei. They'd be Tamei either way. Shiva Yamim of Tumah would apply to them whether they had Tumah while they were an Arel, Tumah after they have a Milah. The only issue is whether they can participate in Karban HaPesach. So here he got his Arel removed, then he can participate in Karban Pesach. So for him, they can be Tovel, and participate right away according to everybody, because we don't have this problem. The only thing you might have thought is that we're goes there by an Arel Yisrael or to Arel Nachri. Now what's interesting, you look in Tosfot, Tosfot says, Aval Arel Yisrael Divrei Hakol Tovel, Teimo the Riva, Dolo Matzino B'Shum Makom Tvila B'Yisrael, Shemal Afilu Midr Abonon. Where do you ever find a Tvila that after you get a Milo that you have to go to the Mikveh? This is not talking about Geirut. Geirut's a different thing. We're talking about Geirut to go to the Mikveh. Over here it says, Where would you have a Havamina that an Arel Yisrael should have to go into the mikveh in order to participate in the Korban HaPesach? Why is he going to the mikveh? Where does this mikveh come from that we never saw before? So there are different answers brought. On behalf of the Tosfot, one of the answers brought is that Chayav Adam L'Tayr Tetzmo B'Shvil HaRegel. This is not a Tvila that's associated with the Milo. This is a Tvila that's associated with the Regel. This is a standard Tvila. Everybody does it. It just happens to be that after he gets his milah, he goes into the mikveh. Because before that, he wasn't going to be participating in the Karban HaPesach. Before, he wasn't going to participate in Karban HaPesach because he was an Arel. Now that he's not an Arel, he can participate in Karban HaPesach. He's going to hold the regel. So then he's going to go to the mikveh like everybody else. The whole world was going to the mikveh to be metayer for the regel. That wasn't something unique or unusual to him. That's one possibility of the answer.
That's the answer of the Tosfot Yom Tov. The Minchat Chinuch suggests that the requirement to go to the mikveh here has to do with what we mentioned before about Mechusei Karpara and other individuals who have Hesach Adat Mikodoshim, that they have to go to the mikveh. So same for this individual, since until now he was not Ra'ui the Pesach, he had Hesach Adat, and he wasn't focused on Tarat HaKodesh. So he goes to the mikveh as a maile for Tarat HaKodesh. The last answer is by the Sfat Emet, who suggests over here, when the Gemara says that the Gzeiro of Arel doesn't apply to an Arel Yisrael, that was only with regards with the 7-day waiting period. But the other part of the Gezerah still applies to him on Erev Pesach. Only on Erev Pesach would he have to go to the mikveh if he got a Brit Milah. No other time of the year would he have to do that, and that's because of Gezerah Otu Arel Nachri. So they did apply the mikveh situation to him, they did not apply the Gezerah of the 7 days to an Arel Yisrael.
Tanya Nomi Ochi, you have a brighter that supports this understanding. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, lo nechlechu beit Shammai u beit Hillel al Arel Yisrael, Shotovel v'ochelet piskol erev. Amanech luku, al arel nachri. Shabbat Shemai omrim tovel v'ochelet piskol erev, v'beit adal omrim, v'poresh min or la, apkoresh min akever. So here we have a braita, which basically tells us exactly the qualification that was set up by Rabba bar Rav Chanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan gave us this qualification within the machloket beit adal beit Shemai. Now we have a braita that does it explicitly and says that machloket only revolves around an arel nachri, a non-Jew who is converting, that's where this applies to. But a Jew that is getting his Orla removed goes to the mikveh and has no problem. There's no issue whatsoever. Amarov. Arel, Haza'a, V'Izmil, Himidu Divrayim B'Makom Karet. With three areas, the Rabbonon were Omei Divrayim B'Makom Deoraita. Even though it causes you a problem in a Torah, they were Himidu Divrayim. Arel, we just discussed, Rishon Gemara will say, Haza'a, we'll see in a second, and Izmil, we'll see in a second. Onein, Umitzoro, Beit HaPras, Lo Emid Divrayim B'Makom Karet. Three other dinim dirabanon, they were not made divrayim b'makom karet, and they let you override the din dirabanon in order not to have a problem of karet. Again, onein we discussed, that was our mishnah, and the others we will see here in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, arel hadamran, arel we already said, that's Beit Hillel, who says that an arel, someone who converts on Erev HaPesach, even though Min HaTorah, he's ra'oi to participate in the Korban HaPesach there, nevertheless, they were gozer that he has to have wait 7 days b'tumah, and that overrides his ability to bring the Korban HaPesach. So despite the fact midoraita, he's totally fine, the Rabbanon forced the issue and said, no, that you can't. And you lose out on doing the Korban HaPesach. So that's Himidu Divrayam b'makom karet. Karet means a Korban HaPesach, which is an asay de karet. They're Himidu Divrayam, and we say Sheva al Taseh, don't participate in the Korban HaPesach, because the Rabbanon thought it was important enough to uphold this Din Rabbanon in the face of karet. Right? Hazah. Hazah, Damamar, we had this earlier in the Masechta. Hazah Shvut. Doing Hazah is a Shvut. And Shabbat, if you came along, you wanted to do Hazat Shlishi or Shvi for your Tumata mate, it's not permissible because it's an Isur Darabonon of Tikkun Gavra. We don't do Tikkun Gavra on Shabbat, so therefore it's Asur. What happens if this turns out to be Shvi is Erev Pesach Shabbat? So if he got sprinkled on, he'd be able to participate in the Korban Pesach that night. If you force the Dishu Darabonon and say he can't do Hazah on Shabbat, then he can't participate. So that's what he says. Hazat Shvut Ve'enu Dochet Shabbat. That's the answer. The answer is Hazah is a Din Darabonon and it's not Dochet Shabbat. Dochet Shabbat. And therefore, if it came down to Shvi, when he was on his seventh day, to be cleared from Tumah, and he had to get a Zayin, it was Shabbat, he doesn't get cleared, and he misses out on the Korban HaPesach. The Zaz door, right, from the Shlishi and Shvi by Parah Adumah, just that there's a restriction against Tikkun Gavra on Shabbat, of doing Hazah on Shabbat. Ismail. Ismail is the knife that's used in a Brit Milah. The Tanya. Kishem Shem Yivino to Derech Rishut Rabim. That happens to be a Machloket in Rabbi Lezer de Milah. Can you bring the knife, Derech Rishut Rabim, to do the Milah? That depends if you believe that Hekshir Milah is Dochet Shabbat or not. Rabbi Lezer versus most of the other Chachamim about whether Hekshir Milah is Docha. Even without that, you should be able to do it in a ways that don't violate any Yusurim. So over here it says, Kishem Shemivino to Derech Shut Arabim, which would be a violation Doraita. Kach Imivino to Derech Gagot, Derech Hatzerov, Derech Kapifot. So there, even though the Isur, the restrictions only Derabanan, Derabanan said you may not carry it through these areas to bring the knife, to perform the milah. So that's even the face of a milah, and a milah that involves karet. Here we're dealing with all the mitzvot that I deal with karet. One mitzvot here are Korban HaPesach, which is a chiyuv karet, and milah, which is also a chiyuv karet that is associated with it. Even though, as Rashi points out over here, that what I'm saying is not really correct, because it wouldn't be the issue of milah, because milah's karet is only when a person passes away without having a milah done. You can always rectify the problem of karet by milah by getting a milah. So to say that milah is a chiyuv karet. So therefore Rashi says, what's the case over here? Case over here is that a person has to do a Korban Pesach. And a Korban Pesach, first of all, you have to have a milah in order to do a Korban Pesach. But also, if you are a person who owns either avadim or ktanim that don't have a milah, they are me'akev your ability to do a Korban Pesach. Meaning that even though it's their milah, it's your problem. So therefore, their milah can stop you from doing a Korban HaPesach. So here you can set up the case where it's a Korban HaPesach, where he wants to do it. He has to do a milah on Shabbat. The Ismail is not in there. They need to violate the Isur Drabonon to bring the Ismail over to do the milah, and that will allow him to do the Korban HaPesach. Nope, can't do it. So that's why Rashi sets it up in order to avoid the problem that I just raised, which is, it's not milah b'karet, but rather it's Pesach b'karet, because Pesach b'karet is a karet that's immediate and have to deal with. Milah b'karet can be rectified after the fact, so that's not going to be the issue. Right, now we move on to the other list. The other list are the things that they did waive. Onein, hadamran. Onein is the case in our Mishnah. The case in our Mishnah which says that ininu t'laylo the chachamim waived for Korban HaPesach. Mitzora, mahi. What's the din of mitzora? D'tanya, mitzora shechal shmini shelo be'erev HaPesach. Tzora, eighth day falls out on Pesach. V'ra'a keri bo bayom. This guy's not on a good luck streak here. He just came out of being a mitzora, and then he has a seminal mission on that day, on the eighth day. Now, a seminal mission, Harry, is tvul yom, meaning that he goes to the mikveh, and he needs Harav Shemesh, and he's fine. Tovel vilchel. So if that was the issue, then everything would be fine. I mean, on the Shmini Shalom, everything would be fine if he suddenly had to go to the mikveh and wait for Harav Shemesh, that we dealt with already last week. Last week's daf told you, if you go to the mikveh, you have to wait for Harav Shemesh, they can shech the Korban HaPesach on you. The one issue is that he's on his eighth day of being a mitzora. Eighth day of mitzora has to bring karbanot. That too would not be a problem, except for the Korban Mitzora is unique. And the fact that the Mitzora has to participate in that, which is that he himself has to be present there at Shar Nikanor, which is the Shar Mizrach Lazara, and he has to stick his thumbs in and his ear and his big toes to get the blood from the Korban put on him. So now, in terms of a Mitzora period, that's already problematic, because the Mitzora is not allowed to come into that area, into the Azara. Nevertheless, we, either one of two possibilities, either Bia Mikzat Lo Shmei Bia, that putting a quarter of your body into the Azara is not a problem. That's why it's waived. Or it's a Gzeira Kotuv. The Torah tells you, you got to do it. So what's the other choice? I mean, that's the only way to get Tahor. So the Torah obviously knew that and waived the problem of being Mitzvah in this case. So that's one of two solutions by Mitzvah himself. The problem is here is now he's a Baal Keri. And a Baal Keri is Nishlach Mishtei Machanot. It's thrown out of two Machanot. That means Machane Shechina and Machane Leviyah. Menachana Leviyah is Harabait. So if he's thrown out of Harabait, he can't get access to Shar Nikanor.
In addition, even when he becomes a Tvul Yom, he's still excluded from Machane Leviyah.
Now the truth is, as Tosfot points out here, he's really not thrown out of Harabait, he's only thrown out of the Azara, the Mikdash itself. So it's not a full-fledged, when we're talking about a
Tvul Yom,
sent out of Shtei Machanot, it's not Shtei Machanot in the entirety. We don't totally get thrown out of Machane Leviyah. Time out, he gets thrown out at least of the Ezrat Nashim. But that's sufficient to cause him the problem. Because his access to the Azara is through the Ezrat Nashim. Because remember, of the Sharim of the Azara, all of them were Nitkadesh, Chutz Mishar Nikanor. Except for the gateway of Nikanor to allow the Mitzarim to gain access to stand there and put their fingers through. So that's his only access. His access is through the Ezrat Nashim. And now he's a Baal Keri. So that's what the problem. The problem is that he's a Baal Keri when he's a Mitzora, and he needs to get access, and he can't get access. Now, truthfully, that sounds like a problem, del right, we're not talking about Durabanan. But then, Amru Chachamim, Afa Boshu Tvul Yom, Enu Nichnas, even though generally a Tvul Yom would not be able to go in there, Ze Nichnas, he can go in, Mutav Yavo Asseh Sheyesh Bo Karet, Vidche Asseh Sheyesh Bo Karet. Better that he goes in there and violates an Asseh that has a Karet involved with it, and violates an Asseh that's a lower Asseh. Tosafot said this earlier in Masechta, we discussed this. When it comes to Asseh Docha, to Asseh, it has different rules than we normally think of Asseh Docha Lot Asseh. When it comes to Asseh, Docha, Asseh, then the Asseh HaChamur is Docha the Asseh HaKal. Pretty straightforward. If you can measure and say that it's an Asseh HaChamur, then you know the Asseh HaChamur is Docha the Asseh HaKal. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah, Afilu Asseh Einbo. Now Rabbi Yochanan introduced to us why this is in this list, which is, here we're not even talking about an Asseh Mina Torah. We're talking about an Asseh Dirabanan, Shenemar, because it says in Divrei Hayamim, Ve'yamod Yehoshafat B'kal Yehuda B'Yerushalayim B'Beit Hashem Lifnei HaChatzer HaChadasha. For the new wing. What do you mean the new wing? Where was there a new wing in the Mikdash? So what does that mean? My Chatzer HaChadasha, Shechidshu Bo Davar. It was a new Alocha. Chatzer HaChadasha. The Chadasha is not modifying the Chatzer, but it's a Chatzer that had something Chadash about it. What was the Chadash about it? Shamru, Tvul Yom Lo Yikanez B'Machane Leviyah. That Tvul Yom may not enter into Machane Leviyah. So now you have a problem. This Baal Keri who needs to get in there, now he goes to the Mikveh, he becomes a Tvul Yom. Alright, so now he's a Tvul Yom. What does Tvul Yom do for him? So Tvul Yom should have allowed him access to get in there. The problem is that they said Tvul Yom can't enter into the Ezrat Nashim. So according to the first opinion, that might be a din d'oraita. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's only a din de Rabbanan. Now, the truth is that Rabbi Yochanan can't argue on the previous statement because Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora, and we were talking about a Braita before. So that's as Tosafot points out, Rabbi Yochanan can't be arguing over here. It has to be Rabbi Yochanan's Mefarish. Rabbi Yochanan is explaining what that previous statement meant. That previous statement that said that you're not allowed to enter into Machane Leviyah when you're Tvul Yom is a din d'Rabbanan. If it's a din d'Rabbanan, Tvul Yom l'ikanes Machane Leviyah, now the Rabbanan waived that in order to allow the Mitzora on his eighth day to gain access to Shar Nikanor and to be kasher to deal with the Korban HaPesach that night. That means the Asseh of Pesach, which is great, overrides the quote-unquote Asseh d'Rabbanan that you shouldn't be here in this area of the Mikdash, that you be sent out of this area of the Mikdash. All right, next is Beit HaPras. Beit HaPras, we'll just discuss that in theory first, then we'll talk about it. Beit HaPras is a field in which there was a kever that was lost. Kever was lost in the field, and then they plowed the field. So our fear is when they plowed the field and there was a kever in there, that it distributed the kever, the bones, all over the field. So the Chachamim said that the extent of which we worry about that is Moleh HaManeh. Moleh HaManeh is the length of a furrow. The length of a furrow, because that's how far the plow, before it turned and came back, would drag the bones. So that's generally considered to be 100 amot. So 100 amot in each direction that the plow would have gone. Moleh HaManeh, that's how far we worried about Beit HaPras, that the bones are spread out. In terms of the bones being spread out, we have to understand what the problem of Tumah is now. The problem of Tumah with a mate can involve three different Tumah. You can have Tumat Maga, which is coming in contact with the mate. Tumat Masa, which is either carrying the mate, or Heset, where you move the mate somehow. You're not in direct contact with it, but you move it. Or Tumat Ohel, if you're Mahil ala mate. At this point, we're talking about a mate that's been distributed and broken into pieces. Once you have a mate that's broken into pieces, Tumat Ohel disappears. Because Tumat Ohel only applies by Atzamot, by bones, if you have Rov Binyan or Rov Minyan. Rov Binyan means you have the majority of the count of bones in the body. Rov Binyan is you have the majority of the structure of the person, the skeletal structure of height. that you have the majority of the height in that skeletal structure. The Mishnayot deal with exactly what bones you need for that and so on and so forth. Our assumption here is that doesn't exist anymore because the plow distributed it around the field. So if it distributed it around the field, we're already talking about bones that are smaller. Now, etzem kisse ora, when it comes to a bone giving over tuma, even the size of a barley seed can give over tuma. But we're left here with two types of tuma. Maga, coming into direct contact with it, or masa, which is hesed, shaking it. So therefore, when you walk through this field, we're worried about you either coming into contact with one of these broken bones, or we're worried about that when you step on the dirt, you're going to move the dirt, and that dirt will move the bone, which is hesed, then you'll be tameh. So that's beta pras, and the chachamim goes there, and anybody goes through beta pras is tameh. And you can't go through beta pras. If you want to be tor, you can't go through a beta pras. You go through a beta pras, you are tameh. Here we have a problem of parna pesach. And what happens if a person went through a beta pras? What happens here? The Tanan. Shavin beit shemayim beit hillel shebudkim lo osei pesach ven budkim lo ochlei chuma. Now you can check a beta pras for the ochlei pesach, but you can't check it for the ochlei chuma. My budkim. What does it mean to check? Now the truth is that Tosfot raises this issue, which is, this is an explicit Mishnah. What are we talking about? A din derabonon. This is an explicit Mishnah that you can be budek. So the Tosfot says here that the Mishnah only says that if a person has walked through a field already, that you can check after the fact to see if they are tameh. What we're suggesting over here is the chatchila, you can check it and then allow the person to walk through. That's what we're speaking about here. Vein budkim nochle chuma. So it says we're allowed to budek lo se pesach venat ochle chuma. My budkim. What does it mean to check? Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, there are different ways to do it. One is, minapeach beta pras volech. You get down on your hands and knees and you blow. Right in front of you. You blow, blow, blow. And you see that the dirt then moves. If the dirt is already packed down, you don't have a problem. Because if it's already packed down, you can see the bone if it's there. If it's not there, you're not going to have a problem with hesate because it's already packed down. The loose dirt is where you have a problem. The looser dirt is where you have the problem. So, in that looser dirt, if you blow it away, you move it away, you can see if there's a bone there, and you won't have a problem with magram or hesate. Rav Yehuda bar Abaye, or Rav Yehuda bar Ami, Mishmed Rav Yehuda amar, beit habras shenidash tohor. If you have a well-worn path, then you're okay for the same reason, because now everything is packed down. If it's packed down, then you don't have a problem with hesed anymore. The only problem you have is of mago. And that problem of mago, then you can look and see if the bone's there or not, and you can check and go through it. So in both these cases, we allow them, the chatchila, to do this and walk through the beta pras in order to get there. On the other hand, if you're talking about truma, either we're going to say to them, walk around. You have to walk around the beta pras. Or if you walk through there, you're tameh, and you can't partake of the truma. So that's what it means here, that the din here of the person who's doing a Pesach, if he went through a Beit HaPras, then we can check after the fact. Or if he wants to go through a Beit HaPras, he can check ahead of time and go through there. And we waive the Din D'Rabbanan, that someone who goes through a Beit HaPras is Tameh. And we know it's a Din D'Rabbanan, because someone who's eating Chumah is then excluded from Chumah. The Chachamim were not Ma'amid Divrehem in the face of a Korban HaPesach of a Chiyuv Karet.
Now Tosafot does point out that the Gemara in other places, including Erevin, says that one can do this for a Beit HaPras, even not for Korban HaPesach. So how can you say over here that the whole Chiddush is that we say for Korban Pesach, yes, for Truma, no, there are other instances where we have dispensations that allow you to go through a Beit HaPras. So rather, he explains the Gemara here, or this contrast between Pesach and Truma, in a different manner, which is,
Tosafot points out here, what karet are we talking about over here that allows us to waive it for Korban Pesach and not waive it for the din of Truma? If you look in Tosafot, it says, "Vomari died the kamar hocha b'makom karet davkainu mishum de'ika nami karet basiat pesach b'tumah." The karet here is not the karet of not doing the Korban Pesach; it's a karet of doing a Pesach b'tumah. That's what we're worried about here. So lo osei pesach lo imidu divrayim b'makom karet lo ochlei truma he imidu divrayim b'makom mita. A person who eats b'tumah truma they chiyu mita b'dei shamayim. So there, the chachamim said we're not going to waive the issue of tumah. Whereas, by the Korban Pesach, we are. Perishinya Pesach Tiarua. Afagav Deika Karet Vachilato Betuma. They waive their whole institution, even though there's a Safek Tuma over here, they're gonna waive it by Pesach. They're gonna waive the problem of eating Pesach Betuma. That's what they're gonna waive over here. Lenin Chumai, Mitu Devayim, Lo Tirua, Afagav Deleka Elamita. Here, even though there's only a Mita Bidei Shemaim, they didn't waive it. Lochla Betuma, Avabutumat Kohen. Deleka Lav, Shari Likanes, Beta Pras, Tzorech Eruv. So if by a Kohen, but there's only an Iser Lav of Tuma, there, for other Dinei Derabonon, they let it override. Veshtavar, Kamod, Limud, HaTorah, V'lisai, Shad, Deshari, Afilu, B'lo, Nipuach. And for a Kohen, certain of these things are waived for mitzvot, like getting married, or going to learn Torah, we waive all of these Dinim. So there is a machloket amongst the Gaonim, Rishonim, as to why these mitzvot are waived. Tosfot over here brings the Pshat that is Meshum David Difei Mishar Mitzvot. These mitzvot are more important than other mitzvot, because we have another example. You're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah only for buy another Sefer Torah, or Lumo Torah v'lisa isha. Those are the exceptions to the rule. So Tosfot says from that, you can see that these are special mitzvot, and since it's special mitzvot, we waive them in this instance. That's the way that some of the Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim learn that it's particular to these mitzvot, not because they are difei, but rather the averot that we're asking you to violate are lesser forms of averot, and that's why we allow you to do it for these mitzvot. Not because these mitzvot are more important, but because the violations are less severe, and therefore we allow you to override them. Alright, so Tosfot explains it this way because we see other places where a kohen is allowed to go through a beta pras and the chachamim didn't uphold their words. So that's what he reverses the karei here, not to be speaking about of the Pesach itself, but rather the person who becomes tamei to do the karban of Pesach. That's where it's lohi midu divrayim b'makom karet. Not the karet of doing karban Pesach, but the karet of doing it bitumah. And that's where lohi midu divrayim. Alright, with that we end the perach mishaya, and now we enter into the world of Pesach Sheni, which is the ninth perach is Pesach Sheni. And then we have the 10th perek, which is the night of Pesach, the Seder of Pesach, Arvei Pesachim. Mi sheya tamei, o b'derech rechoka. Someone who is tamei, or derech rechoka, v'lo asa et harishon, it doesn't in Pesach rishon, yaseh et hasheni. This is the words of the Torah, parashavat cholotcha, someone who is tamei, mate, or b'derech rechoka, and therefore cannot participate in Pesach rishon, then participates in Pesach sheni. Shagag onenas. If for whatever reason he couldn't bring the carbon Pesach, whether it was ones or whether it was because he was a shogeg, he also has permission to do sheni. Imkain, if that's the case, anybody who doesn't do a rishon can do a sheni. Why does the Torah specify these two types of individuals who are waived or who don't bring karban pesach rishon and they give it pesach sheni? Because these are chayavin karet and these are not chayavin karet. Now that's a very difficult statement in the Mishnah. The posture of the Mishnah is, the things that are mentioned in the Torah, karet is waived, because the Torah told you you're exempt from Pesach Rishon, you can bring it on Pesach Sheni. Those items that are not mentioned in the Torah, even though you miss Pesach Rishon, you can do it on Pesach Sheni, but the karet is not waived. But how could that make sense here? One of the cases here is Nanas. It's a case of Ones. What do you mean? What do you want the guy to do? He's going to be Chayav Karet, because it's Ones, Ones Rachmana Patre. There's no Chayav Karet in that case. For that reason, the Gemara is going to have to reread the Mishnah to deal with this last line in the Mishnah, which is clearly can't be referencing what was mentioned in the Mishnah, so it's either be chusurei mechsor. There are cases that are missing from the Mishnah, which this last line of the Mishnah is addressing. Gemara, itmar. Haya b'derech rechoka v'shachatu v'zarku alav. He was far away from the Mikdash, and despite that fact, they shechted it, and they were zarek the dam for him. Rav Nachman amar hutza. Nachman says, he's good, he's done. He did his karban Pesach. Rav Sheshet amar lo hutza. Rav Sheshet says, he's not hutza. So Rashi, interestingly enough, says, what's derech rechoka over here? Rashi says, derech rechoka was, she'en yachol likanes b'shat shchita. He's unable to reach the Mikdash during the time of Shchitat HaPesach, but he could make it there by sunset to eat the Korban HaPesach. So this is a case where he has the accessibility to get there for the Korban HaPesach, but he's far enough away where he couldn't participate in the Korban HaPesach because he couldn't be there for the Shchita. So the question is, if someone does it on his behalf in that situation, does it work? Because he has the tour of Derech Rechoka. When he has the tour of Derech Rechoka, the Gemara is going to discuss in 1 second, I'm giving you the preview to this, which is, did the Torah give you an exemption and say that, okay, you're off the hook, but if you did it, you're okay, but we gave you the exemption. Or does the Torah say, you may not participate in the Korban Pesach when you're Derech Rechoka? That's the Machloket Amoraim that we're looking at right now, which is that now they brought the Korban Pesach on his behalf when he's Derech Rechoka. Now, the question of eating, he's going to be there according to Rashi. Tosafot says it's even in a case where he's far enough away that he won't get there for the eating, because that's if he walks at a normal pace. But if he gets on his flying machine, he might have been able to get there for the eating. He got on a horse. Then he moved much faster, he might have been able to get there for the achila. But now he's walking benoni, he's not even going to be there for the achila. Hurtza or lo hurtza? That's the question here. So yeah, b'derech chukav shakadu zakolav, Rav Nachman says hurtza, he's done. Sheshet amar lo hurtza, Rav Nachman amar hurtza, mechas hu dechas rachman olav. The exemption for derech chukav is the Torah had pity on you and said, you know what, you're far away, I will give you a buy to go then do it on the Pesach Sheni. V'yavit obola bracha. But if he gets over that problem and does it anyway, then tavala bracha, more power to him that he did it. Rav Sheshet amar lo hurtza. Rav Sheshet says it doesn't work. Midcha d'chia rachmana kitamei. The parsha talks about tamate. Now by tamei mate, it got to be a case where tamei mate does not have a choice here. Tamei mate's out. He doesn't have a choice to do Korban Pesach. That's why he's out. Now when you compare derech rechoka to tamei mate, derech rechoka should be the same thing. You're out. You don't have a choice. You may not participate in Pesach Rishon. You must participate in Pesach Sheni, because the two are equated in the Psukim. Now, obviously, we're talking about a Tamei Mate, as Tosafot points out right here, on the sixth day. We're talking about a tamei made already on the seventh day. That already has to do with what we saw on the previous perek, which is whether you're shochatim or zorkim al tamei sheretz on the last day. If you already went to the mikveh, then for sure everybody says you can be shecht on him. So talking about a tamei made that's either 6 days or earlier, where it's not relevant for him to come in and be in the Karmen HaPesach. I'm Rav Nachman, I mean a lot. I'll prove it from our Mishnah. Mi shaya tamei, o b'derech rechoka. Someone who was tamei or far away. V'lo asat rishon, v'asat yaset sheni. If he can't do the Pesach Rishon, he does the second one. What does it mean, v'lo asat rishon? V'lo asat rishon means, because he did not do the Rishon, therefore he does the sheni. Michlau, dibai ovod. That he has a choice. Meaning that if he doesn't do the Rishon, then he does sheni. But if he does Rishon, then he does do sheni. Rav Sheshin Amar Lecha, Ihochi Sevak Dektoni. What are you going to do with the second half of the Mishnah? The second half of the Mishnah has the same exact thing. Shagah Gonenas, V'lo Asat HaRishon, Yaseh HaSheni. And he didn't do the first one, then he does the second one. Miktani V'lo Asah, Michlal Debi Ovid. Well, the fact that he didn't do it means that he had the choice to do it. Wait a minute. If he had the choice to do it, what type of Shogeg Aronis are we talking about here? If he had the choice to do it, he becomes a Mezid. Hari Shagag Varinenas. Ella, Mezid Ktani Ba'adayu.
The Rav Sheshin answers and says,
there's a third case there that's not mentioned in the Mishnah, which is the case of Mezid. And that's what's missing from the Mishnah. Hachanami. Onein Ketani Be'adayu. And so too in the first half of the Mishnah, Onein is written with them. So what Rav Sheshin says is that there's a third case, both in the ratio of the Mishnah and the Sefer of the Mishnah, that's missing. In the ratio of the Mishnah, you have Mishaya Tamei, O B'derech Rechoka, or someone who is an Onein. Then we have another case in the second half of the Mishnah, which is Shogeg, Ones, and then a Mezid. Now, in the cases of the Mishnah, the first two cases, which are Derech Rechoka and Tamei, and in the second half of the Mishnah, the first two cases, which are Shogeg and Ones, in those cases, you can't say the Ibai of it, that if he wants to do it, he's totally exempt. So because of that, those people are not Chayav Karet. On the other hand, people who had the opportunity to do it and gave up that opportunity to do it, even though they can bring a Pesach Sheni, they are Chayav Karet. What's an example of that? Mezid. Case of Mezid, where he had the option to do it and he opts out and doesn't do it. Or the case of Onein. We just saw before, then the previous Mishnah, that an Onein does have the option to do it. Onein, they waived an Inut Lailo for him to do the Karban HaPesach. So then Tosfot asks, what do you mean? That's Mezid. If he had the choice to do it and he doesn't do it, then he's a Mezid. So he says, Trey Mezid. Two types of Mezid. One Mezid is where he makes an active decision, I'm not doing the Karban HaPesach, I don't want to do it. The other type of Mezid is an Onein who's involved as Miri Ruth. He's in his bitterness over the death, and therefore that bitterness makes him not want to do the Karban HaPesach. But despite that, he's supposed to do the Karban HaPesach. He doesn't have a choice here. He has to do the Karban HaPesach. And that's the other type of mezid. A mezid that's caused by that exogenous variable of merirut, of the avelut. Despite that fact, he still has to do the korban HaPesach. Both of those mezids, he should have done it. And since he doesn't do it, he's given the opportunity to Pesach Sheni, but he's chayav karet because the mezid skipped Pesach Rishon. Now, Rav Ashi, matnita nami deka diktoni. So now Rav Ashi explains that last line of the mission, like what I just explained to you, which is elu p'turim ikaret, velu chayavim ikaret. These are patur from karet. These are chayav. Ahai, which ones are you talking about? That are chayav karet? Ilei ma shogeg ben enas, shogeg ben enas bnei karet ninu. Since when is shogeg and ones a case of karet? Karet is only for people who do things b'mezid. Elav mezid v'onein. It must be going to mezid v'onein. So he's right. Rav Nachman amar lecha. Rav Nachman will say to you, the olam amezid luchudei. There's not two cases here in the Mishnah. There are only one case in the Mishnah here, which is the case of Mezid. But then, who do you violate the Mitnei Chayav? So because the problem he has now, it says Chayavin in plural. So if it says Chayavin in plural, it sounds like there are two cases that you're Chayav for. So according to Rav Sheshet, we have an easy solution here. Nobody in the Mishnah, at least the way we have it, which is Onei, Shogeg, Derech Rechokah, Tamei can do the Korban HaPesach. So then, both of the Reish and the Seifa say that somebody could have done the Pesach. What are those cases? We fill it in with Onei and Mezid. Those two people are in violation b'mezid of not doing the Karmen HaPesach, and that's why it says chayavin in plural. Those two people are chayav karet. They didn't do the Pesach Rishon. They could do Pesach Sheni, but they're chayav karet for not doing Pesach Rishon. So Rav Sheshit has an easy way to deal with the Mishnah. Rav Nachman, on the other hand, doesn't want to say that, because he wants to say in the Reisha, the person who didn't do the Pesach but could have done it was the Derech Rechoka. So therefore, in the Reisha, he doesn't want to add anybody in. He only wants to add someone in the Seifa. Who does he add in the Seifa? Mezid. Okay, that works well, fine. So now he has a Mezid. Who is the Chayav Karet? The Mezid. But by Chayav Karet, it says Chayavin in plural of the Karet. So that makes it difficult for Rav Nachman. So Gemara says, Mahadik Tani Chayavin, I did Tani Reisha Pturim, Tana Seifa Chayavin. It was just a parallel structure in the Mishnah. Pturim, because you have four cases in the Mishnah that are Patur. So that had to be in plural. So when it said chayavin, it just said the opposite. It wrote it in plural, even though there's only one case in the Mishnah that's mentioned that you're chayav karet for, which is the case of mezid. How can I prove it to you? Detanya. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Nemar Tamei, V'Nemar Derech Rechoka. In the Parsha, in Balot Chom, it talks about Peshach Sheni, it talks about a Tamei and a Derech Rechoka. But Tamei, since you make me a Dola Sot, Veno said, just like the Tamei has the possibility of doing it, but he can't. I mean that, but he has the possibility physically to do it, but he can't do it because he is Tamei. There's a Lachik Me'akev. Av Derech Rechoka Nami, Shisipek Me'adola Sot, even though he had the ability to do it, somebody brought it on his behalf. Veino said, despite the fact he doesn't do it, that he's still prevented from doing it. Meaning that there's a halachic ma'akev here, not a physical ma'akev. Just like by Tamei, the problem is not your presence, it's the fact that you're Tamei. So too, Derech Rechoka is not the problem of your presence, your ability to do it, it's a problem that you're out. Once you're Derech Rechoka, you're out. From Nachman Amar Lecha, Rabbi Akiva the Tamei. That's Rabbi Akiva the Shitado, the Kasavar, Ein Shochatim V'Zokim Al Tamei Sheretz. That's because Rabbi Akiva believes that you can't be shoreg al tamei sheretz, and that's why the tamei mate is out. Vana svirli, or we hold, kemandamar shochatin v'zorkim al tamei sheretz, that you are included from a tamei sheretz. So since you can be shoreg v'zorkim al tamei sheretz, then I do have a case by tamei mate, where even though he's tamei mate, he can bring the korban pesach while he is tamei mate on his last day. On his seventh day, you could sprinkle on him. He could have his karban brought despite the fact that he's tamei. So there are times, even though you have a lachik ma'akev, that you could still do the karban at Pesach. What's that? That's a case of tamei on the seventh day. That all he has to wait for it. Well, Erev Shemesh, according to others, even if it's before tevilah, I mean, it's bad. That's machloket Rav and Ula. As to whether it's before tevilah or after tevilah. But we do have a manifestation in tumat tamei, where despite the fact that you're tamei mate, you could still do karban at Pesach. So too by Derech Rechoka. Even though there's a lachik ma'akev, there'll be times when if you physically can do it, then when you do it, you're okay. And that's the difference between us. Rabbi Akiva is forced to say that because he never has a case where tumat amet can't have a korban pesach. And so he's stuck. And he says, therefore, the lachik ma'akev is 100%. And therefore, also by Derech Rechoka, it's 100%. For me, I only have it in 99% of the cases as tamei mate out. There is this case which Shvi Shilo falls out on the Erev HaPesach. That one scenario, we will allow him to do it even though he's Tamei Mate. So too by Derech Rechoka. If he managed to get himself in or somebody does it for him, then he's okay too, even though there's a Lachik Ma'akev. Okay, we'll stop over here.